There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, folks, it's another Wednesday night. It's the 1st of February, and I want to say hello to you. I want to say welcome to all the new people that are listening around the globe. You know, we have a bunch of new people listening in the country of Israel, and we have a whole lot of you up in Canada, and I've never said hello to you people in Canada before, so hello and welcome to the Abiding Presence. On this Wednesday night, we broadcast live every Wednesday night from an undisclosed location in Oklahoma. And also, we stream for free 24 hours, 7 days a week. So I want to make sure that I say hello to the people that listen to other than a live broadcast. We're all made in His image. Exactly what does that mean? Does it mean that we are godlike? Does it mean that we have powers, that we live forever, that we can create our own worlds? Or exactly does it mean that we're made in His image, that we will do greater works than Him, that we have a road full of potholes that we need to patch and to wonder what is right and what is wrong? Jim Hockaday, the Abiding Presence, is here to explain to us. What exactly do you mean when you say we're made in His image?
Well, when the scriptures declare we're made in His image and likeness, and BJ's getting that from Genesis chapter 1, and verse 26, that says, God made man in His image and His likeness and gave him dominion over all the works of His hands. And so the main thought there is we are exactly like Him and we resemble Him. So in what way? Well, the number one way that we're like Him and resemble Him is in our spirit. And this is one of the things that we've covered in a previous, in fact, I think, BJ, it was about 16 recordings ago, quite a few months ago, that we talked about man as a spirit. But that's the number one place that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So we are a spirit being just like God, which means that we've got the ability on this earth to do just what God says we can. And so then when you begin to look through scripture and find all kinds of things that God would say, hey, this is possible and this is possible, and He sent His Son Jesus to show us how it works. Even Jesus said, like you just mentioned, BJ, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater shall you do because I go unto my Father. And there's no way to do that unless we're like God. And this is a pretty big subject because it really gets down into the heart of many of the episodes that we have, many of the shows that we've had in the past. It kind of combines some things together, and it'll help you to understand what you can expect in your own life.
Well, one of the best correlations that you've ever done is that you correlate the fact that there's a difference between a $5 and a $10 bill, but they're both money.
Right.
Explain that to people because it might help them a little bit.
Okay. This comes from over in Philippians and chapter 2, and I can quote that. It says in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And it says there that he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. And boy, talk about a subject right here that people would like to throw stones at, but it's a subject that's well worth talking about, because it has to do with the very core of your existence. And here's one thought. You know, it's interesting how we've lived in this world that isn't, as we've explained before, it's an unnatural world to the spirit realm. And we've allowed people that maybe haven't understood that man is a spiritual being to try to explain from the psychological realm and the physical realm what man is. But right here it says that man, Jesus didn't seem to think that it was wrong to be equal with God as a man. So BJ gave wanted me to give you this illustration, and I think this will help. The word equal to and the word equal with are very different. The word equal to means able to replace. So if somebody said, I believe that a $5 bill is equal to a $10 bill. And if you were in a store and you owed 10, then let's see you leave the store and only pay 5. Because the point is, you cannot replace a $5 bill to a $10 bill. They're not replaceable. Not with equal to. Equal with, however, means able to represent. So would a $5 bill and a $10 bill be equal with each other? And the answer is yes, because they both represent currency. Now, do you see how that works? So when God says that Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, that meant Jesus did not consider it robbery to be able to represent God fully as a man. And we have further scripture, and I won't get into it right now, but just to give you the idea, we as humans should be able to represent God completely on the earth, exactly as he is. And the reason is because we're spiritual beings made in his image and likeness.
That representation doesn't have to necessarily mean that you have to go around and walk the earth like Jesus. What that representation means is try to have a spiritual relationship and lead a spiritual life.
Very good. Yeah.
That's the testimony. To made in the image and be Christ-like doesn't mean that you got to walk around and say bless you and I'm like God. No, because they'll throw a net over you and throw you in a padded room and feed you Jell-O with toothpicks. But what it means is that conduct yourself in a spiritual manner instead of a worldly manner. Yes. Think of yourself as a spirit being instead of just someone walking around trying to pay bills and, you know, not get arrested or get sued by somebody.
Yeah. And this is why I wanted to bring this subject up tonight, because in the last few meetings that I've been in, BJ, in fact, it's been kind of a whirlwind. As you know, we did a meeting on the air last week in Georgia, Commerce, Georgia. And this last weekend, I got home one day, went out the very next day to Illinois and was really blessed to be in Illinois. But I tell you what, the weather change was pretty severe. It went from like high 60s to low 30s. But anyhow, we had a really good time up there. But the last few meetings that we've had, I've noticed that when you start talking about how we've been made in his image and likeness, it helps people get back to the foundation of being spiritually conscious. And what you said is really good. You know, Jesus didn't even do the thing he did without a relationship with God. He didn't just go ahead and pull out a magic wand. It was his relationship, how he identified to his Father, which gave him the success that he had so that he could represent himself before God. In fact, I'll give you a couple verses right here. And that is, it says over in John chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For as the Father raises the dead and quickens people, even so the Son quickens whom he will." Or one translation said it this way, "For just as the Father raises the dead and causes them to live, so also the Son causes to live whom he will." And then in verse 26 of the same chapter, John chapter 5, it says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself." So these verses here are real good verses that help you to see that Jesus was able to represent God because God gave Jesus what was necessary exactly as God had it. Jesus had the same life, the same ability. And folks, made in the image and likeness of God means that we are spiritual beings in this earth. Now we're clothed with flesh And we do have an intellect, a will, and emotions, which is the part of man's soul. But we are spiritual beings. And I like what BJ said to complement what we're endeavoring to get into tonight. And that is, doing the works of Jesus and representing him is not just walking around saying, I bless you, I bless you. You know, people think you're weird doing that. And here's the interesting thing. No one thought Jesus was weird. The only people that didn't like Jesus were all the religious people in whom Jesus exposed all their unbelief. The common person loved him because he brought them goodness and he helped them and brought them a message of hope. Well, folks, representing Jesus is first and foremost beginning to discover the relationship that we have with our Father. This is a good thought, BJ, and I want to continue to go on this because of how much it seemed to have helped people come back to a foundation where they're able to accept that healing is spiritual, a relationship with God is spiritual, and this isn't something that's supernatural. It's extremely natural.
Well, it's, yeah, the hardest thing is not reading your Bible. The hardest thing isn't deciding whether you go to a building or a church, and there is a big difference. And it's not deciding on whether you are qualified or that you think you're good enough to have a relationship with God, or if someone has made you feel guilty, like you're just a piece of dirt and you're not worthy of saving and that you're going to burn in hell, and which is, by the way, completely erroneous. You don't have to. That is your choice, by the way. Is that people get in your own way. You don't get to experience God. You don't get to see the fun of it, the joy of it, because you're so busy working for it and you're so busy trying to honor it. Think of it this way. You're given a pair of shoes, and they tell you that these shoes will never wear out. They're completely waterproof. Your feet will never be tired, never be sore. You'll never have corns or bunions. You'll never have athlete's foot. And that these shoes, the tread, magically changes. So no matter what you're doing, you never have to change shoes. If all of a sudden you walk in a bowling alley, they become those really ugly shoes with the stripes and the numbers on the heel. If you walk on a golf course, and why would you? Because golf is ridiculous. Good waste of pasture. If you walk on a golf course, they automatically turn into golf shoes. Sure. If you go to a wedding, they're dress shoes. If you're at the beach, they're sandals. If it's snowing outside, they are waterproof and insulated, and your toes are toasty warm. They're magic shoes, and they're given to you. Well, here's what most people do with those shoes. Very rarely do they take them out of the box. Very rarely do they show their shoes to someone or talk about them. They put them on a shelf. They put a light so that they're illuminated because they are special shoes. They polish them. They clean them. They buy extra laces for these shoes. They only wear them around the house because they don't want to get them dirty. So what happens is they never get to enjoy the shoes.
Right.
They never get to see the potential of the shoes. They never get to share them. And at the same time, someone, some nitwit somewhere, tells them that they should put their shoes on a shelf,
sure,
that they should get on their knees and be thankful for these shoes every day of their life, and they should send money to somebody and feel lucky that they have these shoes. And that if you do something wrong, someone's going to come into your house and take the shoes away, or you just missed it. They're just a size too small for you, that you don't qualify for a pair of these shoes. Or the worst thing, everybody in your family makes fun of these shoes, so much so that you just want them to shut up, so you put the shoes in a closet and you forget that you even have them.
Right, right.
Folks, replace what I've just said with shoes and replace that with the word Christianity, relationship with God. Yep. You're a spirit being, God's grace, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And oh yeah, by the way, You can be one if you know one.
Yeah, real good. And this is part of what seems to be a real complexity that people are, and this is an interesting part that goes right back to even being made in the image and likeness of God. We're a creative spirit by nature. And how you think about yourself, in fact, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 23:7 that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the picture that you see about yourself is the way that you really are. And that's the way that you'll talk, that's the way that you'll walk, that's the way that you'll portray yourself. And people do that all the time. And so here we have an illustration BJ just gave, which was great, that just helps us to see that people are byproducts of what they've accepted to be true. And if you know that you're made in the image and likeness of God, you don't have to buy into anything that comes down the pike that isn't something that's a relationship with your Father, or that feeds your spirit, or that gives tangibility to God. And I think this is really interesting. BJ, today I was talking about something that goes right hand in hand with this, that people become conditioned. How they've lived up to a certain point, there's all kinds of negative things in their life that have conditioned them to see themselves in a particular light. You and I had talked before about some things with relationships, how someone can be in a bad relationship and they have a separation and they look for a new partner and they end up getting someone exactly like the old one. There's a condition to it. Yeah. And they run right back to the way that they were. And the reason is because they see themselves that way. That is their normal. We could say it in another light. And you and I have talked about this. Some people have grown up in an environment where normal is chaotic. And so if there's too much peace, an individual like that, sometimes you'll find they'll end up going back to creating some type of chaos so that they can feel normal. It's a real interesting thought here, but it's because of the fact we've been made in the image and likeness of God. And I'm going to make this comment, and this is one to really take note of. Being made in the image and likeness of God, which is the creative nature of God, means that you as a spirit being are creative. It'll work for you, but it'll work against you. And that's exactly like we have the story with the relationship with God that gets tucked away in a closet or gets put up on a shelf. This is a conception of how people see themselves. People don't see themselves going past where they're at. And that's why they have to get a new identity. And most folks don't have that. So even with a relationship with God, isn't it sad you could wear the shoes on the bowling alley? Well, you could wear the shoes. I'm going to go ahead and kind of make light of this. We could wear the shoes on the golf course and have great spikes. I know BJ doesn't like that necessarily, but what I'm saying is, man, that's a great example. Wear the shoes. They'll turn into anything that you need. The grace of God is there for everything you need. And isn't it interesting? We barely even open the box, let alone do something with them. I think this is really interesting. I think we're on to a real good topic tonight. And in a few moments after we have a break, I have a really good example that I think BJ will go right along with the story you gave about the shoes. And I like that. That's a good example. It helps.
It does. And it goes to the fact that we are, that we're made in his image. Think about this. Okay. We're made in his image, ladies and gentlemen. And also we're to do greater works than him. What does that mean exactly? I want you to think about that. What could that possibly mean? Could it possibly mean the drama, the strife, all the trouble that is created that doesn't have to be there? Think about the world that you live in. Think about your hometown, wherever you are, whether you're in Manchester, England, you're in Canada, you're in San Antonio, Texas, you're in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I don't know. I don't even care. Wherever you are on the face of the planet, think about the world that you live in and the type of atmosphere and the mentality of the social structure that you're in. And think about how none of that was there 2,000 years ago for Jesus. Would you not need more discipline, more power, a little bit more grace because the current is stronger of negativity. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back from this break, we've had some emails. And speaking of emails, you can email the show right now. Make sure when you do that you say whether it's okay to read your email on the air or not. We don't want to embarrass or humiliate anybody or say you can read this on the air but omit my name. We also have a P.O. box. You can find that on the contacts page. Also, we've got letters. We've got theories. There's a lot of writings that Jim and myself have provided for you on the show's website. Remember, the show does stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's there for you. This is your show. Yours, personally. It's yours. Embrace it. Grab it. Use it. Don't put this show on a shelf. Shout from the rooftops that you are a spirit being. We've got a wonderful testimony that we received in the first 10 minutes of the show. We're going to share that for you in just a few moments. Also, make sure on our links page, you can go to Jim's personal website. There's a lot of information there where he's going to be, updates of schools and healings and classes. Also, there's if you want to know more about him, there's all kinds of information. And it's all positive, by the way. Just want to warn you that there's nothing negative on there. Also, if you are too shy for an email, or a lot of you, your computers don't work when you're listening to the show, don't regret that. You can send emails 24 hours a day. We'll read them together. We'll get back to you. And so I don't want you to feel like you're excluded in any other shape or form or fashion. This is your show. That's why it's the Abiding Presence. It's here for you. And by the way, prayers are what you want them to be. Your relationship with Christ is what you want it to be. If you have brothers or sisters, would you ever tell your brother or sister how they should communicate or love their own parents? No. Would you stand for a brother or sister, a sibling of yours, how you communicate, how you love, how you deal with your mom and dad? No. So then why would you ever allow someone to dictate something as so profound and as important as your own relationship with God? Jim, we got this great email at the beginning of the show. And here's what it says. It says, "Dear Bro Jim," I guess that's Brother Jim, "Dear Brother Jim and BJ, I'll leave it up to you to answer either on the radio, if you'd like to, or in an email, or email me. I'm in Connecticut. And Brother Jim was here in October. Were you there in October?
I was.
Okay, where?
That is...
Connecticut.
Yeah, I know it's Connecticut.
United States.
It's Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay. He prayed for my healing from my breast cancer and the pain. And it said manifestation and the healing. I'd like to minister to... It says I like to minister to others. And can you give me some tips on how to start? Listen to this. I prayed for my former boss yesterday for a crush injury to his hand, and it was healed 24 hours by Jesus. How can I pray for people on a regular basis? My church used to have healing school, but stopped it after a few weeks. All the best to you both. One can really feel the anointing coming through from your radio." And it's signed Eileen. In Connecticut, around Newtown, I'm presuming. What she wants to know is she wants to pray for other people, and she wants tips. And you know, if I was someone listening to this show,
right,
and I wanted tips, I think one of the first things I'd want to know is how can I offer God's healing to someone and not have them throw rocks at me or tell me to shut up and mind my own business? Because a lot of times when you go up to someone and say, you know, I can see that you're limping or that you're having a bad day. I'd like to pray for you. Well,
right,
the first thing they think you're going to do is knock on their door Sunday morning at 5 a.m. and offer them leaflets and pamphlets, or that you're trying to sell candy bars, or that you're going to want a donation for the food drive. I mean, you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally looked at as a unwanted salesman pitchman.
Yeah, and you're very right. And you know what? Let's answer this two ways.
One, I want to give an answer. And two, I want you to give an answer because, you know, our life has been so different. I grew up saved at 4 years of age. And
I grew up with horses.
And you grew up with horses.
Out in the middle of nowhere where the nearest church was 3 hours away.
So let's both give answers. I think it'll be real helpful. So first of all, I'm going to have to give an answer based on my experiences. Number one, the last thing in the world I ever do, if I'm going to share Jesus with somebody, is act religious. I mean, I get rid of all the phrases, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, all these different phrases that we get so used to saying in churches. Immediately, just get as real as you possibly can. And the first thing that's necessary is, do you really care about the person? Because if you really care about somebody, people pick up on that. You see somebody that's hurting it. Well, begin to have some empathy, first of all. In other words, identify with them. Say, that looks very terrible. It looks very, your leg looks like you're really hurting. And I just was looking at you and my heart went out for you. I want to know, is there anything that I can do for you? And begin to talk to somebody. People will open up their hearts immediately. I find the majority of the time when they know that there's someone that's just really real. And the next thing that I would ask them to get anywhere near to a prayer is just very simply, do you believe in prayers? Do you believe that God answers prayer? And you know, the majority of people, whether they're churched or whether they're not, they do believe that there is a God, and they do believe in prayers. In fact, most of them have offered prayers to God without maybe not knowing exactly what they're saying, whether there's confidence in those prayers or not, but they believe in them. And I've found that the majority of the people, and I'm going to say this, we go as chaplains into the hospitals, and those are some of the people that we've trained. And all the chaplains will tell you that 9 out of 10 people will always say, yes, I really would love to have a prayer, because the people care for them. They come in to say, we're here just to offer you any type of help that we can, and to be a blessing to you and let you know that we care about you. Would it be all right if we prayed? 9 out of 10 people say yes. So there's my answer as far as the introduction, because no, there's no way in the world I'd go up to somebody and be religious and say all these phrases and make them think, here I am. I'm, you know, the preacher that's coming to beat you up. And I certainly wouldn't try to shove Jesus down their throat either. What a great opportunity when you know how to pray to release God's grace and presence and anointing and have them be healed. What a testimony that is. And then they're going to want to know the Jesus that we know. BJ, how would you answer it?
Well, I answer it a lot differently.
Well, good. That's why I wanted to do both of us.
I'll give you an example. I was in, I was in a local lumber yard because I'm always building stuff on the ranch. I was in a local lumber yard, and this guy was having a hard time walking. And I said, you look like you were just in a bar fight. You know, and it's like 10 in the morning. He says, I feel like I was just in a bar fight. He says, what happened? He says, I'm working on this person's house, and I was walking around in the flower garden, and I stepped in this hole. And he says, my ankle just is swollen, and it doesn't feel good. And I said, well, have you, like, taken anything for it? And he says, well, I'm not really big on pills. And I says, no, I'm not either. And I says, well, I says, you know, speaking of bar fights, you know, I says, you could get a little tanked up. There's a liquor store here in the mall, you know, and you won't feel anything. And he says, boy, that's not a bad idea. He says, I'm having a rough day. And I said, you know, what if in a moment's notice your ankle would be all better? Would you go for it? And he says, yeah. And I says, is this a gimmick? And I says, no, it's not. I says, I'm not selling you anything. And I says, but if you want to give me money, I got lots of lumber. You know me, I'm always a wiseacre. Yeah. I says, I got lots of wood to buy, so if you want to give me cash, I'm not going to say no. And I said, but what if? And he says, well, what do I have to do? And I says, you really don't have to do nothing except understand that it's not only possible or probable, but it doesn't have to be this way. And he says, well, what is this? And I says, well, do you pray? And he says, no. And I says, do you go to church? And he says, well, I do because my wife makes me and I won't get any breakfast or my laundry done if I don't go to church. Now, you know, this is
right.
Like how many,
right.
You know, if I had a dollar for every person that thought that, you know, I'd have millions. And I said, okay. I says, let's just try something. He says, what? And I says, do you think there is a God? And he says, yes. And I says, are you sure? And I says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you? And he says, well, he says, I'm 10. I know there's something. He says, there just has to be. And I says, you know it in your heart. And he says, yes. And I says, okay, can you do me a favor? And he says, what? And I says, walk. And I says, but walk like it doesn't hurt. And I says, you know, don't be a baby. Don't be a sissy. Walk like it doesn't hurt. And as you're thinking about walking as it doesn't hurt, think about what you just told me that you believe on a 10.
Right.
That there's something.
That's good.
I said, just do that. That's all you got to do. And I says, and do it honestly, because I'll know if you're BSing me.
Right.
And he kind of smiled and he says, what do I got to lose? And I says, probably a swollen ankle. And he laughs and he says, oh, that was funny. And he started walking. And he started walking a little faster and he walked a little faster. And he looked around at me and he says, well, I'll be blankety blank SOB. And I says, yeah. And he says, what just happened? And I says, well, what do you think just happened? And he says, well, it's kind of like a miracle, right? And I said, no, it's kind of the way it's supposed to be.
There you go.
And he says, did you pray for me? And I says, no, not really. I says, I guess you could say I did. I says, but I just wanted you to know that you can do this yourself.
Yeah.
And he says, and I says, walk some more. And I says, go ahead, kind of trot. And he says, well, I'm not kind of a running guy because, you know, he had kind of like a big beer belly.
Sure.
You know, he's like close to 60 years old and, you know, your average Joe Schmo guy. And I says, well, try running. He says, well, I haven't run in years. And he says, same thing. And I says, yes, exactly the same thing. And so he started to trot and he says, oh, my God. And I said, yes, he is. and he says, wait a minute. Where are you going? And I says, can you smell that? And he says, yeah. And I says, that's Jesus. And he says, Jesus smells just like popcorn. And he says, are you messing with me? And I says, yeah, they got free popcorn. I'm going to go get some. They're just popping it. But see, what I do is I've learned this over 30-something years working with people with their horses.
Uh-huh.
If you make someone feel stupid or that, like, you know something they don't know,
sure,
the walls go up.
Right.
Because no one wants to feel like they're at a disadvantage.
Right.
Or that you know something they don't know. It's a buzz killer. It immediately walls go up and they won't hear anything you say. But I found that if you let someone feel control, if you allow someone to have the ability to choose on their own,
sure,
that they always go for it.
Yeah.
And see, they have it anyways. I mean, it's like knowing how to scuba dive. And they think that they can't go in 4 feet of water. And you say, look, you're a scuba diver. You just don't know it.
Right.
4 feet of water is nothing for you. But you can tell them that all day long till the cows go home when they won't get it.
Right.
But if you just let them experiment and say, you know, have you tried going any deeper? Why don't you try it? And they say, you know, I just made it this deep. I wonder how deep I can go. Well, bam, the door's open.
Sure it is.
That's what grace is.
Yeah.
Because you can't sell them grace. You can't convince them of grace. And you can't give them grace because, number one, they've already have it. And all they need is like an awakening.
Yeah.
Almost like a baby step epiphany.
Right.
That's my take.
Yeah. No, it's very good. In fact, it goes hand in hand with what I end up having the opportunity to do on a regular basis in the healing schools, BJ. I mean, we meet all kinds of different people in different situations. And you've seen me and the healing schools have to work with all kinds of different people. Each individual, you work with them differently. We don't ask them three questions that are always the same. You're constantly working with people, helping to locate them, and then bringing them to a place where, I like what you said, where you're opening their eyes to what's real. In fact, the guy that came in just yesterday in a wheelchair, and here he had a stroke. And we began to talk about this whole idea that we've been made in the image and the likeness of God, which means there's a creative nature to that. So what you set your heart on, what you focus on, we've talked about this before on this show, the old-fashioned balance scale, BJ, about or the seesaw, the teeter-totter. When you've got negativity and it's on the ground and you're way up on the top, or you've got the world and it's on the ground and your spiritual awareness of God is way up on the top, that means you're way outweighed.
Right.
And we're just endeavoring to bring that equation totally around to the opposite, where people are very conscious that they are spiritual beings and that God is with them. And that then becomes the genesis, so to speak, the beginning point, where people then recognize, oh my goodness, it doesn't have to be this way. And this fella, I worked with him and talked with him. And on the way home, between when he left and when he got home, he wrote us within probably about an hour, and this is the testimony that he said. He said, I made a discovery when I got out of the car. I found out that I could stand up. And he said, and then I found out that I could walk. Well, praise the Lord. That's a great testimony. He can walk, just like the testimony with the man in the lumberyard. How wonderful for him to find at that moment that there was grace on his life. And BJ, all you did was is you, in a roundabout way, got him hooked up to the idea that he actually does believe in God. And then you didn't bring some big old hammer down and say, well, now you got to believe by faith and you've got to pray some. I mean, you'd have lost him in a heartbeat right there.
Well, see, that's really the difference between a church and a building. That's the essence right there.
Yeah.
Because you get all dressed up, everybody files into a building, and they got ushers and people that tell you where to sit, and they tell you when to stand, and they tell you what to think and what to read and what to pray. And there's nothing wrong with that, because there's a certain amount of spiritual schooling that's required.
Sure there is.
To help you.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where it becomes dogma, and it's a mantra.
Right.
And it's no longer spiritual. It's doctrine.
Well, it's called religion.
And what happens is it's almost like, and it's true, and I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because there's no reason to be sorry. It's like being addicted to a drug. And the building you go to is like a drug dealer, because they literally convince you every Sunday that this is the only place to go, and this is what you need, and this is the only place you're going to get it. And if you don't get it and need it this way, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, and what's real interesting about this is, I told you, I says, you said you should really go with me sometime and speak. And I says, I don't think that's a good idea. And he said, why? And I says, because here's the first thing I'm going to do. I says, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get in front of a building full of people, or a church full of people, whatever you want to say. And I'm going to say, okay, I do this all the time. I say, folks, I want you to do something. I want you to pretend that there's a man standing next to you with a gun at your head. I want you to think that you are connected to the world's greatest lie detector machine. And I'm going to ask you three questions. Number one, do you really believe in God? Raise your hand. Number two, do you pray? Number three, have you ever actually had a prayer answered? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, by the way, you don't wait for prayers. Prayers are like a light switch. You reach for the switch, you turn it on.
Right.
There's light in the room. It isn't like God saying, you know, I've got a dental appointment, I'll get back to you on that cancer tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or, you know, me and the Holy Spirit are on the back nine.
It's an immediate connection.
Yes. And I'm going to say, now, there's 200 people in this room, and we've only got three or four people that have raised your hand. What's wrong with this?
Right.
Whose fault is this? Where did the wheels come off the wagon? Because if your prayers aren't being instantly answered, if you're having problems, if you're not enjoying life, if you're struggling with life and you figure, well, that guy's got it worse than me, or my life isn't any worse than anybody else's. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
settling.
That's like a prison sentence.
Yeah, it's like you're settling.
That's like saying, you know what? I'm eating on a metal tray, but so is everybody else in the building.
So it's
and they've
not
got
that
bars
bad.
On their window, so yeah. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that you've done something bad. I'm saying, what's wrong with this?
Right.
Because obviously you're getting bad information.
Yeah.
Or you've missed the boat. Right?
Yeah, and this is
because if you really are made in his image, if you're really, it says you're made in his image, you will do greater works than me. If you just say those two things in a
right.
room full of people
right.
where
right.
nobody raises their hand and says, I've never had a prayer answered, there isn't anything else but to say,
yeah.
what's wrong with this?
Right. And you know, you and I have talked a little bit about some of this where there's so much rhetoric. In fact, you just got through saying it, the dogma and the mantra. I mean, it really is. There's so much rhetoric in a church that just becomes doctrine. It becomes, I hate to say it this way, BJ, but in some senses, it almost has about as much good sometimes as far as the effectiveness of a person's life as the whole Charlie Brown scene again. And the teacher that, what does she say?
Wah, 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 wah.
That's what it is. But it has just about as much effect because we get religious with this. We get religious in the way that we talk. In fact, here's an interesting, talk about irony. You could have a room, you could have 2,000 people and someone get up to preach, and I know this as a preacher, and you can preach in such a way that people will literally get out of their seat and run around the room. And if you stop them all and ask them why they're running, they would repeat many of the phrases that you said, but then if you ask them, so how is that working in your life? At that point, the wheels come off.
Yes.
Because it's more rhetoric than it is something that we live by.
So if we're made in his image and we can do greater works than him, tie that in and make it applicable. Big word for a cowboy, applicable. Can't even say it right. How do you make it apply? Let's make it apply. There we go. I'll short
right.
it up. Short words for cowboys. How do you make that apply to someone who's listening right now or is going to listen while this show streams 24/7 till next week's new show on Wednesday night? How can they do that? Because there's someone out there saying, okay, I get all this. I understand, the pastor and the cowboy. I get it. How does that apply to me?
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Well, the first way that it applies to you is that you can actually have an amazing relationship with God. Made in his image, made in his likeness, doing greater works than these, as Jesus said in John 14:12, that's the verse that BJ is quoting. It first and foremost means you can have a relationship with God. You are a spirit being. Jesus made reference to this in John chapter 4, where he had a woman at the well, and he was talking to her, and he made this observation. He said, they that worship the Father, in other words, if you're going to have a relationship with the Father, you need to do it in spirit and truth. Well, what we're talking about here is helping you to locate the very foundation of your life. You are a spirit being, and it is creative by nature, and you can go to God and have a relationship with him. BJ connected the man at the lumberyard to God by simply moving him into a position where he asked him, well, do you believe in God? Well, yeah, I do. Like on what scale? Well, I believe there's someone out there on a scale of a 10. All right, well, then go ahead and walk. Well, what do you mean? Well, you can. Well, he always could. He just got him to do what? To have a relationship with God. He got him to make a connection in the spirit with God. You can have a relationship with God 24 hours a day. It comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And at that moment, folks, you don't have to stop at the doorway. We can go in and begin to actually have our relationship with God work in your life. It can affect you every day. It can affect you in your home. It'll affect you on your job. It'll affect you with your family. It'll affect you with your body, and you'll begin to see things differently. And as you do, it doesn't have to be rhetoric where we just run around the room. And I'm all for running around the room, but hey, let's get this to work. It should be real. It should be connected to a person, not just doctrine, not just thoughts. So, BJ, I've got a really cool example here that I use this morning, and I want to give that right now and then and actually get some of your comments. I believe you'll really
do
like it.
Right now. Right now. Do it. Do it.
I'm ready. Here we go.
I want to motivate you.
All right. You know, just talking about the whole thing with being in the image and likeness of God and getting our prayers to work and walking in the Spirit, having a relationship with God, I was explaining it like this. I said, you know, there's different kind of theme parks. Some of the theme parks, not only do you have to pay at the front, but when you get inside, you got to pay for everything. I mean, every single ride, you got to pay for. And it's kind of frustrating in a sense because if you start running out of money right away, you don't feel like you can take any more rides. Then there's theme parks that you go to that are a whole lot more costly at the front gate. But once you get inside, I mean, everything's free. You don't have to pay for anything. It's a matter of how many rides do you want to ride? How fast do you want to go around the park and discover it? And this is what I was saying to the people this morning. You know, the relationship with Jesus Christ is amazing. Because most religion, in fact, all religion will get you to try to pay for something all the time. What you got to do? What you got to do? What more do I have to do? Like that man said to you, what was his question? Well, what do I got to do for that? Well, you really don't have to do anything. Well, that's awesome. Why? Because you're describing a theme park where the payment's already been made. He's describing a theme park where he has to pay for everything. Look how discouraging that is. And I shared with the people that, you know, Jesus is the one that paid the big price at the front gate so that we could get into the theme park. It's kind of like you and I talking about getting into the house, stepping away from the threshold into the house that represents everything about our spirit and our relationship with God. And here we have this amazing theme park before us, and you can experience anything you want. And here's the irony of it all. Everybody stays right at the gate. They don't move into the theme park. They don't experience it. They stay at the gate. In fact, most of them go over to where the gate is, and they hang their limbs back outside the gate. They get their arm back out there so that they can feel what they've always felt before, which is what's normal to them, feeling like they have to do something. It's too good to be in this theme park where everything's free. I feel like I need to pay. And you're trying to tell them, no, come on in here. This is amazing. It's great. You can experience it. And this is what I equate even being made in the image and likeness of God to. People are not taking advantage of the relationship that they can have. How do you put that together? What do you think about the example?
Oh, I think it's good. It's excellent. We were talking about this before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
And what's and you know, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. And by the way, I just want to qualify what I'm going to say. I'm not big on sports. I don't watch a lot of television, but I find this really interesting, and it is kind of appropriate because the Super Bowl is a big deal and it's right around the corner.
Right.
Okay. A real close friend of mine that I was in college with was real big on math, and he continues to be. And he's done some things for some pretty big businesses, and one of them is the National Football League. And he compiled a bunch of statistical information. And this is really interesting. When they're going down the field, there's four downs, and usually on the fourth down, you kick the ball to the opposing team because you're giving up. You can't advance any farther.
Right, right.
So you kick the ball on fourth down.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What he found out is that 75% of the time, 75 out of 100 times, when the team opted to try to go for a first down and not kick the ball, to retain the ball,
right,
75 out of 100 times, they achieved their goal.
Yeah.
Now think about that. That seems like a pretty safe bet.
Sure.
But what's ironic is that they only attempted that 5 out of 100 times, which means that the team, even though 75% chance of success, only 5% of the time does a professional team ever try to do that.
Yeah, very interesting.
Now, that doesn't, what's real interesting about this is this literally can be said for you and Jim and I, everyone. For some reason that I haven't quite figured out yet, because you can't blame negative energy, you can't blame the devil, you can't give grace or Jesus or the Holy Spirit or Christ credit for not doing it, but for some reason, as beings on this planet, we think more about loss and more about what we could lose than what we can gain with trying.
Sure.
And this is somehow, I mean, I almost want to say it's in our genetics, it's in our genes, because everybody does it on some level. It's like people will say, you know, I'm in a bad mood. I would just love it if someone said something wrong to me today. Well, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're in a bad mood, and so you literally just said that you hope someone makes you feel worse.
Yeah.
It's like we gravitate towards negative. We gravitate towards not trying. And I don't know why that is, because there's nothing in Scripture or the Bible that says that we should. There's nothing that says watch out for that. It's just something that we literally create on our own. And everybody creates it on a different level.
Yeah.
And I think where I'm going with this, my point is, ladies and gentlemen, is I think you yourself, whether you're sitting in the bathtub, whether you're sitting at a red light, whether you're daydreaming at work looking out the window, or you're listening to the show right now, I think it's up to you to say when you do this. And I think that if it's kind of like grace, if you know you do it, if you think you can potentially succumb to it, I think that's all it'll take to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because there's really nothing wrong.
Right, right. Yeah, there isn't. And what you just said, BJ, I'll back up. There's a lot of scripture that seems to support what you just got through saying. For instance, the Apostle Paul had to constantly go back and deal with the same problem. Well, what was that? People were returning to what they knew. I always have said this when I've been preaching, and I think you've probably heard me, and that is, what you hear someone say, just because you like it, doesn't mean it's yours until you use it. Because until you use it, the real possibility is, when you get in a jam again, you'll go back to doing what you're used to doing. And not think about what you just got through learning. And so it's of necessity that you on purpose make these changes. It's kind of like this too. You know, it's interesting. When you work for somebody, it's almost amazing, because you'll pick up on their good parts, but you'll also pick up on their bad habits. And if you don't on purpose discover what it is you really want to pick up on, you'll get it almost like osmosis. It'll just be transferred to you. So you have to say, no, I'm crossing a line right here. I'm not going to pick up on that, but I'm going to pick up on this. They've got some really good things for me. So you're right in your assessment there. It's very interesting how people gravitate to the negative. They gravitate to being failures. In fact, you could say it like this. We're almost more afraid of being successful than we are of being a failure, because we've learned so well how to deal with being a failure. Our whole life has been living in a counteracting all the negatives. Well, if you didn't have any negatives, it's as though you'd feel bored. I know that sounds kind of sick in one sense, but at the same time, it kind of helps us to understand where we're going with this. And the reason why it's so important, everybody, is because, seriously, decisions that you make will alter your future. I heard it said like this by a great man of God one time. He said, if you don't like where you're at today, go back to checking up on what you've been believing and what you've been speaking, because you created it yourself. And some would say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, just look, man. I'll tell you what, if somebody were to walk around with you for 24 hours, what would be the thing that they would notice about you? What about your demeanor, about the way that you say things, your attitude about life, your perspective about life? I bet you they would come up with something that you would probably not want to agree with or to claim and take the right for. Number one, because most of us don't see how negative we really can be. And what kind of change do we need? Well, Paul had this problem. People were always going back to the law. So what was Paul always doing? He was always telling them, listen, Jesus already covered that. Time to go further. Let the grace of God begin to move you forward as you see how righteous you've been made in Christ. I know those are big words, folks, but just really simply put, Paul said, why are you going back to living like that? You've got a brand new life, and the only way you're going to experience it is if you can put it before your face and begin to see it. Here's an interesting thought, and again, it's another scripture, and BJ and I'll talk here in a few seconds, but another scripture goes back to Exodus in chapter 7 and verse 1, where God said to Moses, see, Moses, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Well, the first word is the key. If God made you a donkey, then you're a donkey. If he made you as God to Pharaoh, then you are. But the key is, do you see it? Because if you don't see it, you'll never act on it. If you don't see it, you won't accept it as true. So then that goes back to the whole statement we've been making tonight. Being made in the image of likeness of God, it'll work for you, but it will work against you. So let me ask you the question. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself sick? Or do you see that Jesus took your sickness and what you've been subscribing to isn't real at all? I mean, if Jesus took it, then how can the devil have it? And how can he put it on you? And how can you have it if Jesus has it? Come on, I'm going round and round, but think about it for a moment. Isn't it true that we've subscribed to so many things because that's just the way we accept life to be? Well, this is just part of life. You know, my neighbor over there, they have the same problem I have, but my problem isn't as bad as my neighbor's. So I guess I'm lucky. I guess I'm doing pretty good then. Well, why would you look at your neighbor to judge yourself when what you're going through is still a problem just because it's not on the same level as a neighbor? Why not see that the problem really is nothing but something you've subscribed to? And if you realize you don't have to sign your name anymore, then it's time to make some changes. And I'm all up for changes, BJ. I'm all up for this stuff working, not just getting religious about it and getting all churchy in the sense that we're preaching. Everybody's shouting amen, hallelujah. We're all getting excited. And then you ask your question, how many of you have ever had a prayer work? And we've got 3 hands out of 1,000 people. Well, what does that tell you? How successful was that meeting? Yeah. It wasn't successful at all.
No, it's like someone will say, I went to a prayer healing tonight for my knee. Really, how'd it work? Oh, my knee is about 50% better.
Yeah.
It's like I say, you know, really? Because where's the other 50%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you not have the Jesus Christ coupon, so you only got half your knee
but
fixed?
But doesn't that show you the compromise that's in the church then?
It's a weakness.
Yes.
Say that again.
It's what?
It's a weakness.
Yeah.
It's a weakness that has been created by man over 2,000 years, and that's why we're created in his image, and we have to do greater works than him.
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't have these doubts.
Yeah.
They didn't have the drama. They didn't have 2,000 years of doctrine, dogma, and religion,
yeah,
and false prophets and false people stacked up that you had to fight such a current.
Would you agree that this weakness is something we've accepted as normal?
Yes, because you don't know any better.
It
goes
right
back to the runway bunny. It goes back to the runway bunnies.
It does.
Runway bunnies. Check it out on the theories and letters of... Ladies and gentlemen, on the show...
Please read that.
Read Runway Bunnies and you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, please.
Read Runway Bunnies.
Excellent way to end the show tonight.
No, it isn't. I want you to give us a prayer.
Okay. All right. Father, we just thank you and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus for a relationship. You've made us in a way that we can have a relationship with you right now. And if there's somebody listening under the sound of our voice and they've never had a relationship with you, kind of like BJ working with the man in the lumberyard, brought him to a place of seeing that he really did believe in God, well, right now, just say this prayer after me. Father God, I believe in Jesus Christ, your Son, and I do believe he came here to give me a brand new start and a brand new life. I accept his death, burial, and resurrection, and I ask him into my heart right now. Jesus, come into my life. I confess you as my Lord, and from this day, I have a relationship with God, and everything's going to be different because of your wonderful love being with me every day, and your grace to keep me healthy and strong, make my body well, to bless my life, and to help me to see the things I need to see, like we're talking on this show. I say all of that in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Folks, this has been another Abiding Presence. Remember, it does stream for free 24 hours, 7 days a week. You know, Jim and I would like to ask a favor of you, even though we don't know you. We feel like we do, because you let us into your homes and into your phones and your businesses or wherever it is you listen to the show. You know, if you would want to just spread the word about it, maybe put a note up on the bulletin board at work, or maybe just put it in the announcement at the building of the church you go to, because that is a way of testifying. That is a way of sharing your grace. Because a lot of you ask me, how can we spread the word? How can we do this? It doesn't have to be in a grandiose manner. It can just be something like planting a seed, like almost like putting a note in a bottle and casting it out there. We hope that you have a good week. If you have any emails, email the show or write us a letter. And make sure that you take care of yourselves and your pets and your family. And remember, prayers do work. Good night.